part of the conversation. Send us a WhatsApp message on +27 73 470 3520 or call us at +27 12 001 7679. Let your voice be heard. Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
Well, good evening to you, and welcome to the Tuesday edition of Business Sense right here on Adventist World Radio. We are powered by SID Media. It is the 5th of November, 2024, and it is a Tuesday, and we have dubbed Tuesday's Technology and Innovations Tuesday, and this is where we try and just keep abreast with what's happening in the technological space, in different industries, as well as different sectors as well, just to make sure that as a show and as our listeners, you are also not left behind. And today is no different at all. But I'd like to hear from you. If you don't know the number by now, it is +27 73 470 3520. That is +27 73 470 3520. And today we're talking about cybersecurity for small businesses. As someone who's really, really entrenched myself in the small business world, I think this is fast becoming one of those pain points with small businesses. And we are, of course, having to discuss that. Whether a company is thinking of adopting cloud computing, yes, even small businesses have to, no, move with the times and all that, cloud computing, or just using emails and maintaining a website, cybersecurity should be part of the plan. And every business that uses the internet is responsible for creating a culture of security that will enhance a business as well as a consumer confidence there. And I know for a fact, especially with the young small businesses that I work with, that if you don't have such a plan around, you know, keeping people's information, for example, safe, you're sure that you're going to lose customers there. Muyoa is joining us this evening to help us understand that. Good evening, sir, and welcome to the show once again.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good. I'm doing very well. And yourself?
I'm all right, all right. I was slightly a little bit starstruck by you. Okay. Like, I didn't know how to respond.
Oh, is it? How? Yeah. In what way now, Mio?
No. It's because, didn't you hear I said, hello, how are you?
Yeah. Which is odd, right? That's not how you usually respond.
Yeah. Oh, but other than that, I'm doing well.
That's good. I'm doing very well. I'm just keep saying this thing that I think I'm at a stage where I want the year to end. So a little bit of end year fatigue. I don't know if it's the same with you.
Yeah, look, it's been a long year in one way or the other. But I think let's appreciate the last couple of weeks of the month.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, because if we push one or two things, you know, we can rest.
Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah. I think I've just picked one or two, no, not even two now. I've picked one thing that I'm looking at. I'm saying, if I can do this by the end of the year, I then pens down, computers down, you know, those sort of things, I'm done. I think I would have achieved quite what I wanted to, because it's been a very long year, like you're saying. Hectically long year, so looking forward to just time out there and you know, recuperating as it were, so that we can start 2025 on a much better note. So I take the advice. Let me just focus on that one or two things, eh?
And 2025 will be its own year, so let's not rush into it.
Yeah, we don't want to go and you know, ahead of the problems that 2025 has. And so let's just focus here on 2024, which makes sense. I really want to start at a very elementary level. When you talk cybersecurity, what are we talking about? Before we even delve into the rest of the other stuff, if you can please help us just understand that.
All right. So when we talk cybersecurity, we talk about threats that people would face when they're on the internet. So it's similar to any other physical thing. Let's say, for example, if we're talking about break-ins into people's homes, we'll be talking about how some people are taking advantage of the fact that they can do this.
Yes.
You know, break into people's homes, steal valuable stuff.
Yeah.
So when we say cybersecurity, we're literally talking about that.
Mm-hmm.
The protection of electronic information
mm-hmm.
In a nutshell. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, love it. Like I said when we started, I'm really quite entrenched in the small business world, and mm-hmm. and one of the things that I think is really becoming quite a pain point is how they organize themselves around technology, cloud computing, and how they present themselves. And it seems like the issue of cybersecurity is coming to the fore. Besides the financial, I suppose, obligations and financial outlay and whatever it is that they small businesses need to put together and all that. But it's almost like it's becoming a competitive advantage even within the small business world. Do you find it's the same as well?
Yeah, look, I would agree to say that cybersecurity for small businesses is important in the sense that small businesses in our country form the cornerstone of our economy.
Definitely.
So if you look at the number of people that are employed by small businesses, it's quite a large number.
It's a lot. Mm.
So we need these small businesses to stay operational and not be out of operation or for not adhering to small little cybersecurity things that they could have fixed.
Yeah. Definitely. And so then, which leads us then into this question, how common are these cyber attacks on small businesses, and how much of an impact do they potentially could have, say, if a small business isn't taking it seriously?
So they're quite common. The interesting thing about how often they occur is with small businesses, they think that they're not affected.
Yes.
And as a result, they might actually overlook something that has happened, crime that has occurred.
Yeah.
And the impact sometimes means that a small business loses revenue.
Mm-hmm.
It loses its intellectual property, what makes it unique.
Definitely.
And sometimes small businesses can even go completely out of business as a result of some crime that happens. So they happen often, and also they can have a devastating impact for small business.
Yeah, you touched on a very important thing there. Is it that small businesses are ignorant, or like you said, they think it's not going to happen to them because they think, no, I'm too small, it's not going to happen to me, and so it's not important, or is it a matter of there's no education, lack of knowledge, maybe?
So I would say it's a bit of both.
Yeah,
because on the one hand, small businesses, they look at their income, for example.
Yes,
you know, a small SME, they say, look, my income
mm-hmm.
that just basically covers for the goods that I pay
mm-hmm.
and the people that I pay for mm-hmm. for doing the work for mm-hmm. me doesn't really amount to much, so I'm mm-hmm. not probably a target.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the one thing.
Mm-hmm.
Is because that they then do not go and educate themselves or find ways to educate themselves.
Yes.
And that education would be important for them to actually say, what can I do to actually ensure that people's livelihood lost?
That's really important. And data there. I'm just thinking about how, for example, if data is being compromised, and this is your customer's data, this is your employee's data, maybe depending on, I suppose, what type of a small business, your doctors could have medical records that are important mm-hmm. of their patients. So these things are important. And maybe you're servicing some or other highly political person from a medical point of view. And so you can be targeted, even though you might be a small little doctor running your own practice.
100%. So I think maybe this is where we might just want to say, okay, what sort of, cybercrime can a small business expect?
Yes.
What have we seen?
Yes.
And I think the two, let's not list 10, let's 10 commandments. Let's just talk about two.
Yeah.
So the first one is called business email compromise.
Okay.
So this is when someone gets access to someone's emails.
Yeah.
And the impact of that is you're a small business, you want to invoice, and as you're sending this invoice, someone intercepts that email and sends different bank account details. And as they send those different bank account details, I remember this one incident actually. These people that had intercepted the small business, they requested for two invoices. So they made sure that the small business was paid.
Sure.
And then they made sure that they also got paid. So now the small business thinks, this person that we've invoiced maybe doesn't have money, so they paid us the first month. And then they just kept quiet. And after a few months, they realized, no. Yo. When they requested for the second payment, they're like, no, we paid you the full amount in two blocks. We did wonder why you had two accounts, but we didn't really ask. So that's the first one. And then the second one is small businesses tend to use the same laptops. Yeah. Let's say, for example, you've got a small business.
Yes.
You're at home, the kids are at home. Mm. You want them to watch something off your laptop.
Mm.
So you plug in a USB or an external hard drive. And what you find there is what is known as small businesses using the same device, one single device, for multiple purposes.
Mm.
You know, they don't have dedicated computers.
Mm.
And what you find there is sometimes malicious software finds itself onto a laptop from a personal perspective.
Mm.
And now the small business is impacted. So for me, those two are sort of the two critical ones.
Yeah. And I really want to go back to this point and punt it, and also just thinking about these two that you've mentioned, and I've written them down here. There is a reason why people would want to attack any type of small business, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sort of sensing that there's different types of, I suppose, cyber attacks against different types of small businesses in different sectors. Help us understand that, maybe.
All right. So let's just talk about the first one that I spoke about.
Yeah.
If you look at any big organization, there's an approval process, right?
Yes.
So if they're going to pay something, it has to go to maybe the accounts manager before it goes to finance, before someone actually makes the transaction. With small businesses, that whole process is collapsed into a single person.
Mm.
Probably the owner of the business has got access to the account.
Yes.
And there you just find the element where you see the invoice, you look at the invoice, everything is fine, you submit for payment. So the question that you ask, in the sense that are there different types of attacks for different types of small businesses?
Yes, to
some extent. So we are actually running a program at my workplace to try and support businesses, small businesses in the security space. So these are your complex security guards, companies, your ADTs.
Yes.
I'm not sure why I'm giving ADT the A.
Yeah.
But so there you might find people are more interested, like you mentioned, who are the clients of ADT?
Ooh,
you know,
yes.
if we can get some information from there, then we can maybe, you know, try and get into what ADT does.
Mm.
Another one would be, like you mentioned, a small little medical business.
Mm.
And someone would want to actually target that one to try and find out who are the clients, what sort of medical issues do these clients have, and can we use it to extort further money from the client?
Yeah.
So there's different attacks for different businesses.
Okay, that's quite interesting. I haven't thought about it from a complex or estate point of view, because you do find, I think, in anywhere in the world, I suppose, you do find these leafy estates or complexes where the who's and who's of different places almost live. And so there you want to have, like, you know, a tight security system, even from a cybersecurity point of view, that makes sure that you are ahead of the curve, right? And so if you are running a small business, I suppose that's also in the security space, you can also be attacked.
Yeah. You can, because remember, it's all about that list of people that you support. People are interested in that, not for the purposes of maybe trying to change invoices, but for the purposes of then trying to say, okay, if I can compromise your security detail, they call it these days, can I then, you know, try and kidnap this person and make you look like everything is okay? So there's a lot of things. Of course, we haven't seen such types of incidents in our country, but it is possible.
Okay, all right. And can you, insure against cybersecurity attacks?
The short answer of it is yes, you can.
Okay.
The long answer of this is similar to a car insurance. Mm. If you want the car insurance, there are certain questions that you have to answer.
Mm.
Do you keep the car in the locked garage? Mm. Are you the only driver?
Mm.
Where do you stay? The location? Where do you go to work?
Mm.
So there is something called cyber insurance.
Mm.
And cyber insurance is related to how compliant are you with implementing, for example, our personal what does POPI stand for? I actually, it's out of my mind at the
moment. Protection of public information, or private information, in fact.
Private information, personal identifiable information.
Exactly.
So let's say, for example,
you are
asked to comply with POPI, because remember, the insurance wants to make sure that you've taken all the necessary steps to protect the information. In the event that if there is a loss of revenue or whatever, they can pay you. They don't want negligent clients. So you can actually have something like cyber insurance. The other thing that you can also do without taking on cyber insurance is just make sure that you close all those weaknesses, you know, educating your employees related to this business email compromises.
Yeah.
Educating your employees towards inserting USB into their laptops.
Yeah.
So there's quite a few things that I think you can take over and above the cyber insurance.
Yeah. Okay. I want us to then get into aspects of risk management or risk mitigation, which I think is also part of what you just touched on there. But I'm just thinking now as well, security company, I don't know why I also just keep on repeating this security company, but I feel like they have information sometimes that is critical that might make certain people want to attack them because, like you said, I'll get this protocols of an ex-politician, for example, or security protocols of a president or some high commissioner and all those sort of stuff. So that becomes quite very, very important. Can I be sued by a high-profile person whose security details are compromised because as a security company I did not take measures or even insure against cybersecurity?
That's a very good question. You're giving lawyers ideas here.
Or did I just sell IP of some sort?
You're selling IP to lawyers. Lawyers are probably taking notes. We could get a different revenue.
Look at that.
The reality is yes.
Yeah.
Depending on the extent of the damage. I've seen, for example, small businesses suing a whole entire big bank.
Ooh.
And I think there is actually a case, but it's probably not related to this.
Mm.
But small businesses can sue big banks, and they can also sue conveyances.
Mm.
So your conveyances, let's say, for example, you are transferring a bond into a buyer, from a seller to a buyer.
Yeah.
And in that process, the seller gets their money, but the buyer transfers the money, the bond registration money, but they never get it. For example. So in that case, the buyer, having lost, let's say for example it's 100,000, having lost that 100,000, they can then say, you know what, I'm going to sue you because you are the one who was compromised, and I want my money back. So there is scenarios where small businesses can be sued as someone trying to recoup the loss that they would have suffered. So it is possible for a high-ranking official to then say, you know what, I'm going to sue this small business and literally take them out of business.
Sure.
For failing to protect their information.
Okay, let's talk about then the risk mitigation frameworks. What are they, especially for small businesses, that they can implement? I'm now also thinking, as you maybe talk about that as well, is the issue of obviously the costs and the monies that they have to pay to implement these risk management frameworks.
Yeah, so what small businesses can do in terms of managing that risk is they have to identify what the risk is.
Okay.
So yeah. A simple exercise of, okay, what are our risks, can be carried out. So the only challenge is, of course, you have to get professionals into the room, and sometimes professionals cost money. But you can then weigh it up and say, are there organizations that can subsidize this engagement with these professionals? And once you're in that position, you can then say, okay, fine. Can they help us identify what could be a possible risks? Because generally what you find with small businesses is because they employ very low earners, those low earners might use those laptops for multiple purposes,
like I mentioned. Yes, yeah.
So that could be a risk. And then you would say to your employees, okay, how do we then manage this risk? Okay, maybe we need to then provide awareness training for our employees. Just to say, listen, we have very sensitive information, which we need to keep safe. The more we can keep this information safe, the more we can continue to pay your salary.
So that
kind of awareness training becomes very beneficial and very critical for a small business. So the first thing is they need to carry out a risk assessment. Once the risk assessment has been done, they need to then find ways to mitigate those risks, fix them.
Is there one typical example we can use, which starts at that risk assessment and then maybe one or other framework? I just want to get it to be as simple as it might be. Maybe you and I understand it, but I'm a small business owner. You're talking about cybersecurity. I must have a risk assessment. How do I go about this thing? Where do I even start?
All right. So like I mentioned, you need to find an organization that will subsidize the cost.
Okay.
You find services, you pay for the services, and you shop around, you look for cheaper options in terms of who can actually come and do this assessment and do a proper assessment, and I can pay for that service. You can then determine how often you want to do these assessments because of the cost, right?
Yeah.
Now, a typical exercise would be you bring in these professionals, they look at the weaknesses, they must suggest recommendations to you, and they must also give you a roadmap in terms of, okay, these are the risks that you have. We believe that these ones must be addressed within 3 months. These ones must be addressed within 6 months, and these ones must be addressed long term, 12 months to whatever period. So it's very important that you get these guys in. A typical risk would be, I think I've mentioned this one, is using a device for, actually, let's talk about the emails.
Yeah.
A risk would be there's a possibility that someone could intercept an email and then put in their own banking details. I think that one is very common.
Yes.
How would you, so that's the risk.
Yeah.
How would you, and we'll maybe classify it as high because the chances of it occurring is very high.
Sure.
The tools required to implement this is not that difficult.
Yeah.
And so it meets these things that have to do with probability.
Yeah.
So the way you would go about that in terms of educating maybe the people whom pay invoices would be whenever we receive an invoice, pick up a phone, call the person and verify that they have indeed sent us an email. Of course, we live in a world of deep fake. That's another discussion for another day where you call someone.
Yeah.
And you're talking to the person, but it's not the person.
Yeah.
But that would minimize the risk because I think often when these invoices are submitted, it's normally using words like urgent. You've got 48 hours to pay or some wording like that. And so people feel like, you know what? I can afford this. I don't need to be, you know, told off, you know, and they just quickly make the payment. So the important thing there would be you call the person, you just find out, has this invoice been paid, confirm the invoice number, confirm the bank account details, and then you make the transaction.
And they make the transaction. Oh, lovely. Now it sounds like there's training programs around cybersecurity, which are very important as well, and I suppose spreading the awareness of risk and measures and all those sort of stuff. Are there ones that small businesses can take for themselves?
Yeah, so fortunately enough, when I saw this topic, I was like, wow, this is actually quite interesting. So on the Okay, sometime in September.
Yeah.
I can't remember when.
Yeah.
The organization that I work for, I'm not sure if I'm supposed to mention them.
You're free to do
so. They did not get clearance from the other two organizations.
Yeah, yeah.
But maybe what I can do is I can text you, and then maybe you can share it with the listeners.
Will do. Will
There's
do.
Actually a program for companies in the security space.
Okay.
So your ADTs, there's a publicity for ADT again.
Yeah,
they can actually sign up for free 2-year cybersecurity services, full cybersecurity services.
Mm.
So related to business email compromise, related to those USBs being inserted, and then also awareness training that everyone supports. So it's a full comprehensive program. Project. There's quite a few requirements that the other organization requires. But once that's done, they can just register and be part of the program.
Okay. So basically, in short, there are training programs out there. So small businesses just need to acquaint themselves with where they are and sign up, like you said, some are run by your organization as well. And so they can just, you know, search for those things. But I think that perhaps, you know, is an initiative that any business owner should have to make sure that they at least protect themselves against cyber attacks. That's the point basically there.
Yeah, and this one, this particular program is actually free.
Oh, nice, nice.
It's absolutely free. You don't have to pay anything.
Yeah.
You've got quite a few of our renowned experts when it comes to cybersecurity actually looking after your personal devices that are part of your business for 2 years, comprehensive protection.
Oh, that's lovely.
So it's a good program for those who are in the security space.
Yeah.
Hopefully, we can maybe open it up to different sectors when we get funding.
Yeah.
But for now, it's only in the security
space. In the security space, right? I want us to look at the trends as we you know, go towards the end. But I then want us to start with what are the best practices when it comes to cybersecurity for small businesses? I'm pretty sure that the training will offer, you know, those in details as well. But what would you say are the best practices that small businesses need to be aware in terms of cybersecurity protection, for example?
All right. So the first one is that business email compromise.
Mm-hmm.
Always, always check who has logged onto your business emails. Mm-hmm. So let's say, for example, you have a domain. It's moyowa.co.za.
Yeah.
And you register it maybe with a hosting company.
Yeah.
You get your emails there.
Yeah.
Always check who has logged in.
Ooh,
and from where they've logged in, where in the world have they?
Yeah,
that one you can do on your own.
Yeah,
the second one is, like I mentioned, for the what do you call this? The invoices,
mm-hmm.
call and verify that the invoice is the correct one,
mm-hmm.
right? And then the third one would be. When employees go home with their laptops,
mm-hmm.
They must just strictly use their laptops for business purposes.
Mm-hmm.
And the fourth one, not to put too many things in, mm-hmm. and the small business owner starts to get worried.
Mm-hmm.
The fourth one is get a good antivirus, or what we call these days next generation antivirus.
Yeah.
Or it could also be known as a endpoint detection and response tool. There's quite a few cheap ones, I think, available that small business owners can actually, you know, install on their devices, pay a small license for, and actually have those things protecting them.
Mm.
So those four, I would say, let's keep there. Those are good practices that small business owners can actually implement.
Yeah. On the antivirus, there's no technical knowledge required, right?
Usually there is a little bit of technical knowledge, but generally you can find a lot of information on YouTube, and some of the antivirus providers will even give you information on how to use this thing, because they would like to achieve success, and success for them means that you renew the antivirus license for next year and the following year.
Yeah.
So they do provide a lot of training. And sometimes what small business owners can do, and this is actually a good exercise that happens in South Africa, is that you look for interns, the interns that are already paid for by some of the CEOs.
Yes.
Yeah, so you take those interns and then you educate them to basically look after these systems. So for that year, this interns will look after those systems.
Look at that.
And then you can then decide, you know what, do I need this person on a full-time basis?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So make use of those programs. And I think I'm already thinking about the ones that you are specifically referring to. I think the YES program is one of them, you know, where you can also get young people there and they'll be paid through the CETA, and all, which is a good way, I suppose, to get yourself protected against cyber attacks as well. As we end this one, what do you see as trends in the cybersecurity space for particularly small businesses into the near future? How do they start preparing for those and the impact that it will have? Like we said, it's seemingly now a competitive advantage for small businesses, and there are certain big corporates that if you don't have that in place, you start losing business. But the trends that you're seeing.
Yeah, so the trends that I'm seeing is that small businesses are being hit. And one of the ways that they can protect themselves is taking advantage of programs that are related, that are in their field.
Yes.
And small business owners can think, you know what, this has got nothing to do with me. But they need to take cybersecurity seriously.
Seriously.
And once they've taken it seriously, they need to then make sure that their systems are protected.
Yeah. Do I need to overhaul my current cloud computer or current systems at times to just make sure that I'm well cushioned for the coming things?
So I would say no.
Okay.
The reason why I'm saying that is cloud allows us to have agility, to move faster, to deliver better, and to manage our resources a little bit better, because if you're not using a cloud instance, you can switch it off.
Yeah.
You don't have to pay for it.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is with cloud, you're giving access to someone who is in the US to log into your systems while you're sleeping. So small business owners just need to be aware of that. This concept of always checking who has logged in the last time and what actions they've performed is very crucial as we embrace the cloud. Because if we don't embrace it, we'll be left behind.
And again, my final thoughts, I'd like to hear from you, but I'm thinking here, it might sound like a scary thing to do, getting your company, especially as a small business, because of the cost implication at times, and maybe where you can take advantage of programs in order to reduce the cost, you want to do that. But I'm thinking, it sounds like a big thing, but you can always have it in piecemeal. It's a Rolls Royce, but start with a little bit of a golf here and there. And I'm just not really picking on those two. But there's the Rolls Royce of things, but you can always start very small and build up to the Rolls Royce.
Yeah, 100%. So I think it's all about starting small. Keeping safe the things that are most important.
Yeah.
And then other things will follow on that. So let's say, for example, you're a small business. You've got a patent or IP that you need to protect. You keep those safe, start there. You make sure that your laptop or your system that contains that intellectual property is secured. The system is always updated, and that system is protected. So it's about starting small and then building on from there.
All right. Thank you so much, my brother. I don't know if final thoughts from you, and then we end it from you. But I'm loving this conversation. I think it's an eye opener for me.
So my final thought is, up until recently, small businesses were just getting hit with cybersecurity breaches, and we are now starting to have those conversations to try and protect them. So my final comment would be, small businesses need to be on the lookout for opportunities on how they can improve their cybersecurity. They also need to take cybersecurity seriously. That would be my final comment.
Thank you so much. Small businesses are also being hit from a cybersecurity point of view. Thank you so much, Mio, and really appreciate your insights.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. That was, of course, Muyowa talking to us this evening once again about the issue of, cybersecurity and making sure that even as a small business, you make sure that you are protected. As he said, even small businesses are being hit, you know. So the two H's, they hurt and hit, because you know, you'll be hurt when your business has to close down because you didn't take care of the hit or potential hits on your business because you thought, I'm just a small business.
Do you want to make your money make sense? Listen to Business Sense every Monday to Thursday, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. and make sense of your money.